Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. We are always grateful. The films Becoming Nobody, Miles Davis, Birth of the Cool, and Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing okay, Jill. How about you?
Will not complain.
Glad to hear that because I got a lot of things to say. We have no time for your complaining.
Quite right.
Let's see. So, yes, I would like to talk this week about three new documentaries, nonfiction films, two of which deal with music, but not the first one. We'll start out with Becoming Nobody, which is, yes, an intriguing title. And I'm afraid the title, for me at least, is more intriguing than the movie itself. This is a film which is made by Jamie Catto, who is actually been for a long time a rock musician and has been involved in filmmaking before. But now he has made a movie about somebody who he really, really obviously worships, and that is Ram Dass. Now, Ram Dass, a lot of people will know that name and a lot of people won't know that name, but way back a very, very long time ago, many decades ago, he was a psychology professor at Harvard named Richard Alpert. And he was not religious. In fact, he was sort of anti-religious. He came from a Jewish background, but he really regarded himself as an atheist. But then, as happened to him when he was a very young psychology professor at Harvard, who did he work with but Timothy Leary, who gave him some psychedelics, gave him some psilocybin. And Richard Alpert took the psilocybin, and that changed his life. More than once in the movie, he says, "This and that changed my life." But this is the thing that really changed his life. All of a sudden, under the influence of this psychedelic and the lasting influence and reverberations of it, he became super religious, and religious, as sometimes happens with people with that sort of history, with a very Eastern bent. And he changed his name to Ram Dass, and he became a guru and a lecturer and kind of a go-to person for people on various kinds of spiritual quests, especially those with an Eastern bent. And that is what Becoming Nobody is about. Now, most of the movie consists on the soundtrack of Ram Dass, his own lecturing, talking, speaking, and it's interesting because his voice always sounds pretty much the same. If you've been involved with radio, as I have, even long before I got wonderfully involved with WHDD and Robin Hood Radio, your voice changes, not just from day to day, but from moment to moment. And that's one of the tricks in sort of editing sound, editing voices for sound. But in this movie, Becoming Nobody, Ram Dass's voice sounds very consistent. The whole thing might have been, to listen to it, sort of recorded on one single very, very long session. But in fact, it wasn't. We see all kinds of different clips of him speaking these words at different times in his life, different audiences, different venues, different places, different environments. So it's an interesting sort of a trick that I think they've pulled off, is to make it sound like one more or less continuous lecture, even though it's actually culled from many, many different occasions. I really liked Becoming Nobody in its early stages. It has a whole lot of sort of archival footage from the period when Ram Dass, when Richard Alpert was growing up, footage from the 50s and 60s, not footage of him particularly, but just sort of the time period, evoking the atmosphere of that period of time, which was my period of time too, when I was more or less a kid and starting to grow up. And I really liked the movie a lot then, and I liked a lot of the things that he had to say. As the movie goes along, though, and gets more into the sort of the shank of Ram Dass's career, it becomes more and more kind of, I hate to say this because for a lot of people it's going to be terribly illuminating and marvelous and spiritual, but for me it just became more and more kind of inspirational, and not inspirational in a particularly good sense. A lot of things in this movie that a lot of gurus and guides and coaches have been saying for a lot of decades now, and I didn't hear much in it that I haven't heard before, even though this is not particularly my scene. Interestingly, the whole later part of the movie seems to deal with death. There's an enormous amount of talk talk about death and about how wonderful death is and about how it's all a part of life and we shouldn't put it behind closed doors. Well, I agree with that part, but I'm not sure I needed to hear quite so much about how wonderful death is. And in fact, we get a fair amount about how wonderful suffering is. We hear about Ram Dass. He tells about spending time with people in horrific physical pain and how somebody said to him, I wouldn't choose to be anywhere except for right here at this moment, despite the horrible, horrific physical pain I'm in. And I'm just never convinced by that sort of thing. It seems to me the sort of experience that can't really be transmitted. And after a while, I started to feel this movie is strenuous. Inspirational, and it's really I'm just no longer on its wavelength, or it's not on my wavelength. Now, again, a lot of people who are into this sort of spiritual teaching will find this a wonderful movie, and it certainly has a lot of interesting material about Richard Alpert's awakening, if that's what it was, and about Ram Dass's longtime career as a kind of a guru and guide and coach. For me, after a while, the charm wore off, but if people are into Ram Dass, then, or anything like the Ram Dass scene, then Becoming Nobody is a movie that they must definitely go to see. I guess in its way, it's a kind of a good introduction to the notion of becoming nobody, not just being an ordinary human on this planet, but kind of dissolving your ego and becoming part of something much greater. Again, I really respect that spiritual tradition, but this particular movie didn't draw me any more into it than I was before, which is not an enormous amount. Moving now to our movies about music, the first one I want to touch on is called Miles Davis, Birth of the Cool, and you guessed it. It's about Miles Davis, from my mind, one of the absolute top two or three or four jazz musicians who have ever lived, one of the all-time greatest. And this movie was made by Stanley Nelson, a very experienced African-American filmmaker. We do not have enough of those on the current scene, or on any scene for that matter. I'm glad that more of them are starting to be allowed to come into their own by the white male-dominated American film industry. But he has done a very nice job of telling Miles Davis's story. This is a very straight-ahead documentary. Cinematically, it breaks no new ground. It tells the story of Miles Davis, where he came from, who he is, how he got his musical training, how he got into the world of jazz, etc. And it's a movie that doesn't cover up the less attractive parts of the portrait. Miles Davis, of course, died some years ago, but it deals with his. It tells about his drug addiction, for example, and so forth. It's just a good introduction to who Miles Davis was and what his music was like. The downside of Miles Davis, Birth of the Cool, to my way of thinking, is that it doesn't really tell really enough about the music. For example, the subtitle of the film is Birth of the Cool. That's because Miles Davis was one of the first and arguably the greatest of all the exponents of cool jazz, West Coast jazz. Now, this was a kind of jazz which was developed kind of, I don't want to say in opposition to, but in sort of an interesting sort of reaction with hot jazz, bebop. The jazz that emerged in the 1940s, the American jazz that was hot and frenetic and full of phenomenal energy. It was full of musicians playing incredibly fast and playing with incredible virtuosity. Cool jazz was meant to be the complement to that. It was not necessarily slower. Well, it generally was slower, but its emotions were less heated, less overheated, certainly. And it had more of a contemplative kind of inward-turning feel, and Miles Davis was famous for that, famous for not emoting. Sometimes he would play with his back turned to the audience. And the movie, by the way, has some interesting revelations as to how that came about in Miles Davis's evolution. It was all a very, again, sort of contemplative kind of jazz. Still exciting. And still you really get your juices going, but very, very different from the hot jazz, the bebop that it grew out of. So the movie tells you about that, but doesn't tell you a whole lot about it. And I think that I'm very glad that it gives a nice introduction to Miles Davis and the huge importance of his career. But I must say that I wish it told more about the music, helped people to understand what the music was like, where it came from, why it evolved the way it did, and why it is so hugely important in the history of jazz. That said, It's a very enjoyable movie. It's a kind of a cool, laid-back movie in a lot of ways, and I had a good time watching it. And again, if you love Miles Davis, this will be a bit of a bath in his personality and his music for about an hour and a half, 2 hours really. And if you're not familiar with Miles Davis, this is a really good introduction. And after this movie, I would suggest getting more into really where his music precisely came from and more of what it made it and makes it really special, because it is a very special kind of music. And I'm just very grateful to this movie for spreading the gospel far and wide, even more than it's already been spread. Miles Davis is a gigantic celebrity in jazz history, but he can never be too great a celebrity, and I'm glad this movie is increasing his visibility all the more, especially at a time such as ours when jazz is not exactly the music of the moment. So many people are listening to other kinds of music. Miles Davis's music should appeal to people of just about every musical persuasion. Finally, Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice. I imagine that most of our listeners, Jill, know exactly who Linda Ronstadt is and was, because she was a hugely important, and you know, remains, at least her legacy, a hugely important pop musician. This movie is just a very, very lovely excursion through her life and career. And again, it's a very straight-ahead documentary. It breaks no new ground, and that's my main complaint about the movie. As a movie, it's not exciting. But as a trip through Linda Ronstadt, it's quite wonderful. I actually interviewed Linda many years ago. I found her a tremendously eloquent and articulate person who could just talk and talk and talk and was just full of interesting things to say and very funny and smart and all of that. And this movie really does capture some of that, even as it gives a kind of a trip through her career. Once again, as with the Ram Dass movie, Becoming Nobody, a lot of the soundtrack of this movie is just Linda's voice just talking to us and telling us her story, but we also have a lot of footage showing various stages in her career, talking heads, other people talking about her music and why it was so important. And the main thing that comes out of this movie, and the thing I think that is its main contribution to make, is that it really emphasizes how incredibly versatile she was. She started as a straight-ahead rock musician with a group called the Stone Ponies. You and I March to the Beat of a Different Drum was maybe their best-known hit. But then she evolved into a real important solo act who did all kinds of marvelous music just on her own. But she never was content. She always wanted to reinvent herself. She was not a singer-songwriter. She didn't write songs. But as the movie really emphasizes, she found songs by other people, and once she had hit upon a particular song she wanted to do, she made it her own. But she made it her own in all sorts of different areas. For example, at one really fascinating juncture of her career, her mother had always loved Gilbert and Sullivan, those very British operettas. Well, Linda Ronstadt got the chance to be in one of those Gilbert and Sullivan operettas, The Pirate of Penzance, performed at the hugely important public theater outdoors in Central Park in New York City. I, by the way, saw that show when it was on with Linda in it. I was sitting almost directly behind Jackie Kennedy Onassis, which shows you the kind of crowd that came out for that show. And it was wonderful. And Linda Ronstadt was wonderful in it. There she is singing British operetta and just doing it with such confidence and such aplomb. But that's not all she did. After a while, she got into country music. She did a sensational job with country music. We see her in this movie, for example, with the wonderful Johnny Cash, who I got to drop another name. I interviewed him once, too. And then she got into Spanish language music, Chicano music, Mexican canciones, which her family, interestingly, even though her name was Linda Ronstadt, had very, very strong South Texas roots, really near the border with Mexico. And she loved Mexican music. She got into singing that and had a hugely successful Spanish language album where she sang these canciones. So that's the kind of thing that is so wonderful about this movie, Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice. It gets into all these different phases of her career. And even though the movie is not exciting as a movie, it's exciting as a journey through Linda Ronstadt's hugely versatile career. career. And it just gives you little samples and smidgens and bits and pieces. I wish there were more performance in it of all these wonderful kinds of music that she performed over the course of her career. As the movie reveals near the very beginning and shows us at the very end, Linda Ronstadt now has Parkinson's disease. She can no longer perform. It says at the beginning she can no longer sing. But at the end, we see her with a couple of family members in what appears to be her own living room, and she's singing. She's not singing loud. She's not singing like Linda Ronstadt, but she still can sing a little bit, and she appears to be in good spirits, and she obviously still loves music, and so that's the upbeat thing at the end of this movie. So again, I really had a good time watching Linda Ronstadt, reminiscing about her music, thinking about her music, and again, if you know Linda Ronstadt's music, you will have a wonderful, wonderful time with this film, and if you don't know it, this movie is a terrific introduction. So that is my slightly mystical, spiritual, very musical story this week, Jill.
Magical, mysteries, musical, spiritual. Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Becoming Nobody, Miles Davis, Birth of the Cool, and Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice.